The billions of dollars in hurricane relief funds that may soon be coming into the region will undoubtedly help, but many who have lost their homes have a long way to go before their lives are back to normal. Reverend Terry Troyer is the executive director of Staten Island's Project Hospitality. Speaking with WBAI's Jose Santiago, Troyer says she, like many others, were outraged that Congress took so long to act, but that she's also troubled about the lasting impact of the hurricane on the poor.
Clearly, it was unconscionable that the Congress could have held this up for even 1 hour more than was necessary, because the suffering of people is so great here, the number of people affected is so large, and it's such an impact to the most important city in the United States. You would think that people would have understood what people are going through. So many of us responded so immediate to the needs of Katrina that I think we expected that the same generosity and immediate response be given to New York. And be that as it may, I'm so glad that they acted today, and I really think that, you know, it's our congressional folks on our side here that had those closed-door meetings with Boehner and made the point that whatever the squabbles were in Washington, that lives were at stake as they held up this money. Mm-hmm. We've come over a piece. There's so much more to be done. This is an overwhelming task, and it centers on the fact that, first of all, people are still not even close to being able to repair the houses in many, many cases. People are wondering if they're repairing the houses, are they going to be torn down in the end? Are there going to be zoning changes that, for the good, would require such substantial changes to how the houses are rebuilt that people may not be able to afford that? Or have people done construction that will be in naught if there are regulatory changes coming down the pike? We have looming over us the issue of what will we do when this happens again? And I hear repeatedly it's not a matter of if this happens, but when it happens. And so there's that piece that has to be built into the rebuilding. Mm-hmm. We have such a loss of low-income housing here. These beach bungalows had 2 and 3 families living in 2 and 3-bedroom units for $1,000 a month and $1,100 a month. And nowhere will you be able to find those kind of units in the city of New York again. Mm-hmm. So if you say that there are several thousand, maybe 20,000 units lost, that is such an impactful number to people that are struggling to find housing. Mm-hmm. The obstacles to moving people on into housing, I don't think people understand. Just because you get your FEMA check doesn't mean you can move back into your house. Mm-hmm. I mean, FEMA is not here to make people whole, and I think that was a misconception that we had from the start. Mm-hmm. You know, they're here to make people safe and sanitary and secure, and I understand that, but people's bills are far beyond what they're going to be able to afford, and so we're really plunging people into a whole nother level of economic distress that will carry on for years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what our plan is to get out of this.
Mm-hmm. As many people know, your organization has really been on the front lines of helping facilitate people having places to stay. I know you've done a lot of work in that. Can you maybe paint a picture of what the picture is right now in terms of the families being displaced, where they're staying, and their prospects of getting back into their homes?
It's a daunting task. We have seen very few people actually return to their homes, maybe 3 or 4 families. We were very lucky that there's a foundation out there called the Stephen Siller Foundation. It's a Towers to Tunnel, a 9/11 foundation, that made available to us 15 houses. So we were able to really relocate 15 families into secure housing. It's temporary. It's year-long housing in the state of Connecticut, but it really provides a longer-term transition for people while they're working on their houses or while they save enough money to be able to move into a higher end leasing market. That was a blessing for us. We're seeing a lot of people that are still not able to get back into their houses, just are beginning mold remediation now. Mold remediation could take up to 2 months or longer in some cases. And people really need to pay attention to all of the physical details around mold remediation, because the impact to their health, if it's not done right, could be disastrous. You have people who are still holed up. There's about 465 houses that still do not have heat or electricity on Staten Island, and there are many of those units where people are still living without electricity and without heat. Families, elderly people, people who have fortressed themselves in and do not want to leave all that they know as their home for fear that they won't be able to come back to it. So you have dangerous, you have people in dangerous situations, in life risk situations. We're going to be going out with 200 volunteers on January 19th, and our purpose will be to knock on doors to see who's still in the houses, who needs help, what can we provide for them. It's freezing temperature now. The city of New York's got out all these warnings on the street for people to come into the restoration centers and get a warm place to stay. So you have some really immediate needs that have to be taken care of that are, you know, at risk to life. And then you have long-term issues that that have to be dealt with.
And just one last question. We've been hearing a lot of, especially lawmakers, making a lot of noise when they were upset that the money from Washington was sort of stalled for a bit. There has been some money designated now coming this way. What are your thoughts about the security of that money coming in, about whether or not it's really going to get to the people who need it?
You know, I don't really know what the application was to the federal government, but you know, for certain, the city of New York has taken a very, very heavy economic hit here. So they have expended extraordinary city resources for the very first responder impact and response. So I know that a lot of money is really going to go back to supporting the city of New York, which has to maintain the infrastructure to keep this place going. I have no misconceptions that money is going to, like, pour into a charity organization. I don't think that's how it's going to work. But I'm hoping that the money will be part of the long-term plan to address the housing issues, that it will address whatever protections need to be put in place for the houses that are being rebuilt, for the communities that are being rebuilt, for the businesses that need to be rebirthed, and for protections that will deal specifically with avoiding this kind of significant physical impact in the case of a hurricane or superstorm again. So that's what I'm hoping the money will do.
Anything else on the issue that you think you'd just like to share with the public, your thoughts about just the whole picture?
We need to reckon with a long-term affordable housing plan that makes up for all the units that we've lost. I think it is a mistake to walk away from that concern, because we will see the impact in people's lives. People are living doubled up. People are in precarious situations. And if we don't address that, the stress, the burden will be so great on so many families that are to us right now invisible until disaster strikes them personally or within the community. And so we need to really be cognizant of the people we're not seeing and the voices that are not being heard that are suffering.
Reverend Terry Troyer is Executive Director of Project Hospitality of Staten Island. She spoke with WBAI's Jose Santiago.